podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, Cheeseheads. Welcome to another episode of the Cheese Room podcast. Today, we're talking about a frustrating home defeat to Wolves. They've done the double over us this season. It wasn't any fun. We're also going to be talking a little bit about Brighton because we didn't get your pod out last week and just sort of how the last run of games have gone and how that fits into the narrative of the season. Right, joining me all the way from Brazil, Bren. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing? Good to see you at the social the other week.
Yep. Yeah, you all are back in Brazil, back in your speedos and your comfort zone now.
Yeah, no speedos on today yet. But yeah, no, just it's early here. It's 10 a.m. here, so it's just starting my day. So no speedos or beer in me yet. But so it'll probably be a more coherent pod than normal, non-drunk Brent.
We'll mess that up for you, Brent. Yeah, and we left it 24 hours, mostly because Seb's whips and we couldn't get him on the pod. But... But it's the morning after, it's midday, sort of gives a good chance to sort of reflect. I don't really feel any better though. How do you feel, Seb?
Yeah, no better at all. Got a bit of a fuzzy head as well because I had a bit to drink yesterday. I'm going to try and be quite rational. I've seen a lot online that's one way or the other. And hopefully I can kind of fit in the middle. I am trying to work out my own opinion, if you like, and not just kind of copy things that I've read or other people's very vehement opinions. And I do think I fit somewhere in the middle. So let's see how it goes. And no doubt at some point I'll lose my temper.
I'm sure. I mean, look, social media went mad yesterday, as you would kind of expect. But some of the posts I found, I'm not going to big this guy up, but I will read out what he said. He said, this is a post and... Honestly, there was a succession of responses to it, which were in the same vein. He said, I genuinely hate watching this team. It's so stressful and totally not enjoyable. Ange Ball is a complete fallacy. It's just constant nail-biting nonsense. Another game without a clean sheet as well. Now, I feel obviously the complete opposite to that. I would take the stress and the sort of frustration that you get with this current side compared to what we watched in previous years. But, I mean, it does... feel a little bit like we're stuttering. I'm not going to say the wheels have come off, but it does feel like Ange Ball is stuttering a little bit. We haven't really seen some of the football that we saw early in the season. And we've had a difficult run of games, but we'll sort of go into that in a bit more depth in a bit once we've discussed the actual match yesterday itself. Starting off the lineup, now there were some choices to be made because we had some injuries, didn't we, Bren? Both the fullbacks were out. Lots of different ideas online about what we should do. What did you think with sort of Ange's, I guess, wasn't really a safe option, was it? It was just the sort of sensible option, maybe.
Well, I thought it was safe. I think safe is probably, maybe sensible. Same thing, really. But yeah, it was Royal and Davies coming in. They're reliable to an extent. But yeah, it was. You thought maybe he'd bring in Dragosin and put Van de Ven at left back to sort of, because he has got that pace and he's played there before. But it's a risk. Dragosin hasn't played before, so in that essence it was playing it safe, it was going with the tried and trusted. But we did see throughout the game the drop off and how important Udogie and Porro are to how we play to Ange Ball, by how slow things were and just it was predictable horseshoe football, I think HG could describe it as. So it was, but just glad to see Saren Bissouma back. They're sort of that midfield, has been sort of, we've been sort of rotating between Skip and Højbjerg in there with Bentancur coming back from injury and not really finding form yet. So in the lineup, I was all right with it, but yeah, I just thought with the fullbacks, he played it safe a bit and I wouldn't have minded to try and see something different.
What do you think, Seb? Because people were arguing that we could have maybe put sort of midfielders in those positions because, you know, obviously what you gain in the defensive sense, you miss in the attacking sense, don't you? Because you've got to admit that Davies and Royal aren't the same as Porro and Udogie when we've got the ball, basically.
No, they're not. However, they admittedly in centre-back positions, not in full-back positions, they did well when they came in. And if you're going to have a squad of players, as soon as you're, you know, I think Emerson and Davis will know that they are obviously second choice. But then if the first choice are out injured and then you don't call up the second choice, what's the point in having a squad of players? That would completely demoralise any player. I don't understand that. I think it was to be expected. It was sensible and rational. But unfortunately, as Bren said, and as was clear to see, the drop off on both sides was, I mean, it was ridiculous, really. I don't mind Emerson as a player, and I think he's put a lot of effort into his Tottenham career. But the drop off from Porro was phenomenal. The same on the other side, really.
Yeah, I mean, the positions that they've been really asked to play this season, they say they've been centre-backs when they have played, and obviously neither of them have played for quite a few games now. So it was always going to be a bit of a tough ask. But as the game started, Bren, it was a difficult test against Wolves. Obviously, they got the better of us in the reverse fixture earlier in the season. And, I mean, do you think they did yesterday? They had a really good chance early on. But apart from that, we kind of dominated possession in that first half without really creating much ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. What's the point in dominating possession if you're not going to do anything with it? It was very much similar to the first halves against Brentford and against Brighton, where we just, I don't know what it is, why are we going out with just such a lack of zest? I think Pat Chan in the Patreon chat mentioned, like, we just didn't really have a bit of oomph. And maybe there's reasons for that. We've got players coming back and they've been out for a long time, and we've probably been affected most by AFCON and Asian Cup. So there are mitigating factors as to why we're not sort of as coherent as we should be. But it was a slog that first half, and Wolves came with a plan, and they executed it really well. Like they hit us when we were pressing up forward. They were really quick on the counter, and they had by far the better chances throughout the game, even not just that first half. But we just didn't really get going, and you're kind of hoping, oh, maybe boot up them at half time and come out like we did against Brentford and Brighton, but it didn't really happen.
No, absolutely. I mean, O'Neill came with a plan, didn't he, Seb? And it proved to be pretty effective in stopping us from creating decent chances.
He's a good manager, I think. And he definitely, I mean, obviously, he's beaten us twice this season. His Bournemouth team came and did exactly the same job on us last season, at the Tottenham Stadium as they did today. So he knows exactly what he's doing, knows how to set a team up against us. And that obviously feeds into the narrative of, are we easy to play against? You know, if you know what you're doing, I think he's a very astute tactical manager. The game plan from them, I thought, was quite obvious, and we fed into their hands. The biggest frustration that I had, and maybe something that I kind of want to bring up, because I've been thinking about how can we change the personnel but keep the system, because I think it's pretty obvious Ange isn't going to change the formation and change the intent. But I feel like the players perhaps aren't at the moment. I think he's still struggling to kind of go with his best lineup. The lineup yesterday was the lineup, barring the fullbacks, of the opening 10 games, pretty much. I think I'm right in saying that barring Porro and Udogie, that midfield was the midfield that started the season, and you had the attacking players that started the season when things were going well. But the frustrating thing for me yesterday, the most frustrating thing, because there was a lot of things to be frustrated about, was that when the balls got played down the sides, which is kind of absolutely crucial to our game, we just kept passing it backwards. Absolutely no one taking a man on. Kulusevski, I've said before in a pod what a fan of Kulusevski I am, but he's woefully out of form. I mean, really kind of seeming to lack confidence. Son yesterday, every time he got it into an attacking left position, he passed it back. And then the other thing was that Davis and Emerson were... their starting positions were further back. So when we're passing it backwards, they were too far back and too far wide. We weren't going anywhere. Normally what you have is Udogie and Porro going into more central positions and not as far back as Davis and Emerson were yesterday. So we just kept putting the ball back into kind of a non-dangerous area. Where I'm going with this, sorry if I'm rambling a little bit, is I wonder whether, I thought we looked better when Son went into the middle briefly. Richarlison, it wasn't his day at all yesterday, and I get that he's kind of helped a lot while Son's been off, but I think maybe he's not a starter, and I wonder whether we would be more creative and more forward thinking if we moved Maddison out to the left hand side and put another more creative midfielder like a Lo Celso as well into Maddison's role, so that when the ball does go out to those to the left or maybe the right, but predominantly the left when you're talking Maddison, that there is some creativity, because it's just frustrating me. Werner did nothing yesterday when he came on. He could be anyone, because all he did was get the ball and pass it backwards. He's just a recycler. He's like a number four playing on the left wing. I just don't understand it. Sorry, I don't even know what the original question was, but I had to get that point out.
No, you have a good rant, Seb. You have a good rant. No, I mean, the thing is, this is not the first time that Tottenham Hotspur have been frustrated by a team playing a low block counter, is it? We've seen this over the last decade happen numerous times. I've left that stadium having been frustrated by a team that we thought we should be on paper, but they've come with that tactic. And Bren, it is quite difficult to break down, isn't it? But it was just the complete lack of any solution to that problem, wasn't it? Because like Seb said, we just ended up, even if we sort of broke, we'd get frustrated. The ball would stop at the edge of the box or on the wings. It would get recycled. Wolves would be back all around the box. And then we wouldn't have any ideas of what to do.
Yeah, it seemed like the only player on the pitch that had a bit of urgency was Vicario. Every time, because Wolves were having their chances, they were coming forward, and every time Vicario got the ball, he's up and he's like running. He's like, right, come on, let's break. And then when we do, we just slow it down. It was so frustrating to watch. And Maddison, I know Madison's just come back from injury, so he's going to take a while to get some rhythm, because I think this is his longest period out injured in his career. So there's going to be a bit of time, but it was just really predictable. I mean, let them get their shape back so easily. It was just, yeah, so frustrating. And the goal almost felt inevitable. We were sort of hoping, oh, we'll hold out till half time and see what happens. But the goal, they had their chances. The one in after 5 minutes for Hwang was, he should have scored that. He might have been offside. I don't think, had it gone to VAR, he might have been caught offside. But it was just, we were just waiting for them to strike, and it was really frustrating. We weren't, the lack of urgency, the lack of incisiveness in our passing, and I think that does show, like as we've already said, Porro, when he plays, he's got that bit between his teeth. You sort of see whenever he makes a tackle or whenever he gets his, he loves it. And the guys that were there this time just didn't have that. They didn't have that desire, which is a shame, because that's exactly what we had at the start of the season. We were all pulling together, and it may come back. It was just, we're just in a bit of a funk.
Well, I think my comment on the game was that, again, we were sort of out fought, which I feel like we have been, even if we've got results in some of the previous few games. It feels like we're continually getting out fought and outwitted in some senses. I mean, I know most of it's sort of dark arts, play acting, injuries and stuff to slow the game down, tactical fouls, things like that, just getting us riled up. But it seems to be working against us. And the out-fought aspect of it is just so frustrating, because you watch, they close us down really well. You know, we're always under pressure when we've got the ball, contained when there's no real danger. But then when the opposition breaks, they seem to just find space. And we seem to hold these positions that just let them pass around us. That first chance, I kind of watched the highlights again. And, you know, Richarlison loses the ball. The midfield are sort of well back from him. But then they just quickly manage to find a ball out to Semedo for a shot. And it's just too easy to cut through us. And I felt like on the break yesterday, Seb, that's exactly it. They always managed to find the man. They always had somebody spare. And, you know, it looked like really precarious, some of those situations that we're in. We could have probably conceded more.
Yeah, and it wasn't difficult for Wolves. I think you're spot on. The other thing is unlike Brentford, Brighton, Everton to a point, I don't feel like there was much kind of shithousery or anything like that going on from Wolves yesterday. They came with a very clear tactical plan and executed it perfectly. But as you say, we play into their hands. We're pushing people up to the the edge of the attacking box to try and create overloads, but they were all in the wrong place. It became very, very congested. And then when Wolves win the ball, they were breaking at ease because it's not difficult. There was so much space in behind. There was so much, so many midfielders, particularly running backwards. As soon as you're on the turn and you're running back and you're facing back towards your own goal, you're always in trouble. I thought defensively we weren't very good yesterday, and I think we need to raise the issue that since Romero and Van de Ven have come back, who individually I think are fantastic, the same as Vicario, I think individually fantastic, but we're conceding two goals a game. And Vicario pulled off two absolutely stunning saves yesterday. One admittedly might have been offside, but there were warning shots even at 1-1 or a warning shot where Vicario pulled off a fantastic save, kind of stayed up and pulled off the save last minute once he read where the ball was going. I'm trying. I've got positive things to say eventually, but there are a lot of things that are like, hold on, this is worrying. We can't defend set pieces. That's worrying. We don't really be able to defend crosses into the box at the moment. That's worrying. In terms of positional sense, I think we're so focused on getting forward that it's very, very easy. It's hate using the phrase, but it's almost schoolboy stuff where you're thinking, what? How are you so far up the pitch there? Where's someone shouting? If we lose the ball here, if we get turned over, we're in serious trouble. And you can't keep saying this, but we're going to have to keep saying it. It's the Premier League. We're not playing. I'm going to sound awful now because I'm sounding like Twitter, but we're not playing in the Scottish Premiership. You know, the majority of teams in this league, if you give them three or four chances, they will put two or three away. That, four clear chances, they will put two or three away. Seen it against Brentford, seen it against Everton. These are what you would consider, lower mid-table teams. And yet we're giving up three, four, five opportunities every game and they will stick a couple away. And then it goes on, and I get the whole Ange Ball thing. The idea is, you start quickly, you put that team on the back foot. Ideally, you score so they have to come out. They can't play the low block. But if your attack is as blunt as it was yesterday, then there really is no way that you're going to win the game because you're still going to give up those chances. The likelihood is that a couple will get put away. And you're not creating anything at the other side of the pitch. You can have 700, I think, over 700 passes yesterday. But I tell you something, 500 of them at least were pointless.
They didn't achieve anything. You're right. It was just a lot of circulating the ball around. And I think that's the biggest frustration when you're watching a game like that. Our home form has not been brilliant because we're watching ourselves just dominate possession, pass the ball around. But then Wolves get the ball, go up the other end and create a really good opportunity. And we've been a counter-attacking team in the past. And in those sense, I didn't like not controlling the game. I didn't like not having the ball. But you create some really good chances and sometimes score some really good goals. And that's sort of what we're facing. We faced yesterday, I think.
Franco, as well at the defeats that we've had, right? You can, at home particularly, you can write off Chelsea. It was a bit of an anomaly. But we've lost to West Ham, Aston Villa and Wolves. And in every single one of those games at home, it's been facing a low block. Our attack has been completely blunted, or just very, particularly in the Aston Villa game, just completely wasteful. And that's the issue because, going back to the defensive part, is we give up chances constantly. So, it's you're asking for trouble. And on the flip side of that, away from home, we're not actually too bad because there are not many teams that are going to come and play that low block. You're going to go have a bit of a ding dong like we have against United and other guys. Everton, for instance. It's a ding dong battle. We only lost to Wolves, which was again a little bit unfortunate, although they didn't play very well. And Brighton, who were that day I thought were absolutely fantastic. They're the only games that we've lost away from home. So it's very clear. I think it's very obvious where the problems are, but rectifying them is going to take some serious work.
One thing, sorry to jump in, Aston Villa don't play a low block. But well, I get the point, but they're very much high line and very functional, very successful offside trap. But yeah, the rest of those games, you're right. We were under Poch as well, where we dominate possession and we would have frustrating games where a team would come with a plan executing. You were saying about having control in the game. They had control of the game. They let us have the ball because we were doing nothing with it. So there's a way you don't need to dominate possession to control a game. I thought Wolves were in complete control. I never felt we were going to get that equaliser. We were going to get back in it because they held us at bay. We were losing the 50-50s. And maybe that's because of coming back from injury, etc., that they're scared to get injured again and sort of take a while for them to be a bit more strong in the challenge and winning the second balls. But it was just frustrating. Sorry to jump in.
No, but they've also got tricky players, haven't they? Like Neto, Sarabia, Huang, Gomez. When they got the ball, it was quite difficult to get it off them. And, you know, they were quite tricky and they broke well. But the goal itself that we conceded, Bren, was just rubbish, wasn't it? Because it's like, I've watched it again. It was at the other end to us because they decided to switch ends this time, which is a bit weird. But he's just unmarked, isn't he? He's only about, 5'7", 5'8", or something, and he still managed to be completely unmarked. Admittedly, the ball got put right in his head, and it's a good header. But how do you get a situation like that? They didn't have loads of men in the box, and he was completely unmarked.
Yeah, it was frustrating, I think. Again, maybe this is related to the issues we've had with Vicario. So maybe we were a bit worried, and we were putting a man in between Vicario, and I think they stopped after a couple of corners. They stopped putting someone on. I think it was Dawson they were putting on Vicario at the beginning. So maybe we were sort of distracted by that and weren't as organised, weren't as concentrated as we should be in defending that set piece. Richarlison sort of needlessly gave the corner away, but he didn't get a shout. He didn't know there was no one behind him. But you'd still think we should be able to defend the corner. And like you said, the smallest player on the pitch, completely unmarked. It was a good header, and it was incredibly frustrating. Like, I think we had the open training where we had kids playing with the first team and interacting, and it kind of felt like that. There's little kids going ahead against Vicario. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was very difficult. And, you know, obviously not a good time to concede a goal either, but frustrating. Jed and Nak needs to get to pull their socks up on the defensive set-piece training. But, you know, second half started in a real quick reaction, probably, you know, as good as you can expect, wasn't it, Seb?
Yeah, I missed it. Not going to lie.
loads of people missed it, mate. In the ground, lots of people were still having their beers.
Well, my son came in at like half time and wanted my phone and he was trying to watch Port Vale and I noticed it had kicked off and I was looking at my phone and all of a sudden I heard the cheer go up. Obviously, I've seen it back. Yeah, it was the one time that we kind of showed a little bit of ingenuity, really. And that was all it took. And in a way, it kind of bears its own frustrations because it was the only time that we did something a little bit different. I think Deki, he knew exactly what he wanted to do there, a little toe poke through the keeper's legs. And then you feel, you know, the atmosphere is going to change. We're going to go on. We've done it before, you know, maybe like what we did against Brentford when we 1-0 down and we score very early and then 2-3 go in. But it never really, well, I'm lying. I'm wrong, actually. It did pick up, I thought, for 15 minutes after that. I felt we were well on top and looked a little bit more dangerous. But apart from, I think, a Kulusevski chance, again, not really creating anything.
No, exactly. It was a lot of dominant possession, and it was a situation where they weren't breaking. Like when they got the ball off us and tried to get it out, we were quickly winning it back. And I was like, well, we are containing them now. This is good. But you're right, lack of opportunities created. Not even people taking pot shots. That's what frustrates me. I know we had like one or two maybe shots from the edge of the box, but that tends to be what we say is like, if we're not getting these opportunities, somebody needs to sort of force the goalkeeper into doing something, make it difficult for him. Maybe he spills it and we can follow it up, etc. Just still not doing any of that. But then, you know, they did break the first time. I think it was probably the first time after that spell of play they broke. And it's just a massive frustration, Bren. Like Emerson Royal, I could see he was not running at full pace, right? So what is he doing? He's like, he's got plenty of opportunity to intercept at some point on the pitch. Maybe he's worried that he gets twisted inside and then he's through, but he seems to wait until like Neto's basically inside the box, doesn't he? And at that point, I was just watching João Pedro running, thinking nobody's watching him. Nobody's got him whatsoever. And Bissouma is the man that if anyone was going to do anything about that, but he doesn't either. You've got Saar, you've got Van de Ven, and you've got Royale have all gone to the ball. And then you've just got Bissouma running back, not looking. Over his shoulder, João Pedro strolls into the box. Easy finish for him, wasn't it? It was like everything about that goal could have been prevented. And it was just bad, wasn't it? Bad, bad defending.
Yeah, it was straight from our corner as well. Like it was. I think Romero went up for the header and sort of he was on his arse, and then they broke. And one thing that stood out for me was when showing the replays. They showed the replay of the goal from behind Saar's goal, so from the other end, and you just see Romero strolling back, and everyone else is urgency. Everyone's running, sprinting back. I don't blame Emerson Royale too much. He didn't get tight enough, I'd say, to João Gomes, sure, but. I think he saved himself as well, though, Royale, because they had another break quite quickly afterwards. And he should have buried at the guy. But he got in a good block. I think it was Mario, Super Mario, some Mario guy. They had a few Marios, I think. So I'm not going to dig out Royale too much. But Romero it was just strolling back, and I was just it was preventable. And like you said, I think it was Bissouma that was closest. So if anyone, Bissouma should have sort of been more aware. Look, this is the only player he can pass to. I know, but there was another one. I think that pulled one of the defenders away. But yeah, Bissouma's just got to be a bit more aware. And I think, Royale could have got a bit tighter, but he saved himself with the block a few minutes after, which would have made it 3-1.
Mm. What did you think of it, Seb?
Well, I think we'd had the warning about 5 minutes before. Vicario had pulled off a good save of a similar break ball coming down there, the Wolves right. And is it Bellegarde or someone like that? Like you say, they've all got very similar names. I thought it was awful, and again it feeds back into the. I just felt like it fed into the what we were talking about earlier, where there was a lack of organisation right from the corner. There's a still that's been going round of where Neto's breaking and Emerson is behind the play. Everyone is behind the play. How we are that, I don't know. That exposed. It's just it's unforgivable. I don't understand it. Even level that I coach at, you leave one player on the halfway line or something. You know, it just seemed silly. Once it went in, I felt the atmosphere dropped even further. You were there, Franco. I didn't feel like there was much of an atmosphere at all yesterday, but I might be wrong. Felt very muted.
No, it's been muted for a while, if I'm honest. The last game, I think there were some guys on my row who were trying to get a chant going for about, 3 or 4 minutes on their own. And a few people join in, stuff like that. But I just said to them, look, this isn't White Hart Lane. If people don't want us to sing anymore, they won't. You know what I mean? People don't get caught up in it. And yeah, it's frustrating because I think until we score a goal and until we do something, the crowd is a bit lackluster at the moment. I don't really know why either, because like we said, it's not like we're in a terrible position. We are still fighting for a top four spot, etc. Some of the football's entertaining. I don't know what the crowd wants, to be fair. It wasn't a great atmosphere. And that goal, it did essentially suck the life out of it. But that's because we just watched ourselves not be able to create chances for the last 60 minutes or however long it was. You kind of felt like we weren't. And to be honest, it was similar with the Brighton game. Like, I've got to admit, the celebrations for that last-minute winner were some of the best we've had in a long time. Everyone went wild, limbs, as they say. But that's probably because we just didn't feel like we were going to get an equaliser in that game either. And, to be in the last minute and do that. But I don't know, it kind of felt like yesterday, even with the extra time and stuff like that, people were just resigned to the fact that we weren't going to be able to get through that. And Wolves did a number on us. It was a good performance by them. But let's talk about sort of this in the context of the last few games. Like I said earlier, Seb, you kind of pointed out a few games ago that this is a winnable run. But it seems to me now that teams do come prepared with a bit of a game plan to stifle us, and that does mix in a bit of the sort of trying to frustrate us, commit these tactical fouls. I don't know how many they had yesterday. I think it was like 13 or 14 fouls from Wolves. But we just don't seem to be up to the same speed as other teams that come. Like, that they just come with a bit more energy than us, and it seems to be enough to sort of to win these battles.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. We don't seem very kind of street smart. And look, it kind of with what I'm hearing from Ange and what we've heard all ever since he's come in, really, is that he doesn't deviate off the plan. And I get that. I understand it. I understand that if you play one specific way and in one maybe one specific formation, and you give the players the freedom and also the right to act. You know, what we saw with Conte, for instance, was like 11 robots. And now what we're getting is you've got the freedom to make decisions on the pitch. However, when the decisions that are being made are always the easy option, and I think that's what I saw most yesterday, you have to, in my mind, be able to deviate from the plan ever so slightly. That's what I want to see in these. I think there's the opportunity as well with this perceived easier run of games. You know, is it Palace next? And we've got 2 weeks off, so there's time to work on stuff. There has to be some slight modification of what we do. Because the other thing that I feel is, and I touched on it earlier, is that the longer it goes without us scoring, the more jittery, as you've said, the stadium gets, almost the more jittery and the more desperate. I thought we looked a bit desperate at times yesterday, even before they scored their first. Some of the passes that were going into Richarlison as he was advancing into the area, they played too quickly, they played too soon. We were trying to do things urgently, and we don't need to do that. But I feel like there is a fear amongst the squad, and then it permeates out to the stadium, that unless we score first and early, we're in a bit of a pickle. I think there needs to be some slight changes, whether it's personnel, whether it's formation. I saw someone post up that they think we should play three at the back. I don't see that. Don't quite know when Dragosin's going to get a look in, obviously, if Romero and Ben stay fit. But as I said earlier, I'd like to see maybe same formation, but maybe Gio come into the middle and Maddison move out left. And then I feel that there's a bit more creativity and a bit more, you know, we need to play some better forward balls, cut defences open a little bit, especially when they're playing low block. When we play Palace, I know it's ours again, but they will play a low block. They'll probably have a new manager in, be a little bit of a bounce, you'd think. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to be creative in order to try and get back on track. I just feel that if we went and played that same team again, we're going to face something very similar. And I don't know where the difference is going to come from.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Palace could set themselves up low block and be dangerous on the counter as well. So now that doesn't necessarily look a particularly easy game either. But Brent, I mean, is it also a little bit that some of the players that we've got back in, whilst this is probably close to our preferred starting 11, they're not up to, you know, full form, are they? I don't think Madison's looked particularly good since he's come back. Son wasn't great yesterday. You know, Werner, we've not really seen much of him, to be honest. So, our sort of attacking options, they're not on great form at the minute, are they?
Yeah, it was one of the things that I was sort of worried about yesterday was the subs. I wasn't a huge fan of the subs that he made, although we sort of criticised him for not making enough subs. I think he made too many. Like when after their second goal, he took off both Saar and Bissouma, which I didn't understand. Yeah. Like Saar was fine. He wasn't dropping off. He still had the energy. Maybe Bissouma for Bentancur, fine. Do that to sort of speed things up a bit, get a bit more creativity in there. But to take them both out, it was a bit too clunky. And that's probably a stupid word to use. But
it was also a formation change, wasn't it? Because he took off the two centre midfielders and then brought on Johnson and Werner as well.
Yeah,
And then obviously took off Richarlison, but then brought on Bentancur. So you end up with just Bentancur in the middle. And for a while, I don't think most people knew what the formation was. So it was a bit of a strange time to the triple sub and a formation change.
Yeah, did we go 4-3-3 then? Did Kulusevski and Maddison dropping back? I don't know. It was an odd one.
It was a bit of a mess.
And it didn't work, clearly. I was like, yes. And that's what I was sort of happy about, was that we do have a bench now. And hopefully some of these players will hopefully sort of get a bit of rhythm. Bentancur again, like we've said this since he's come back, like it was strange because against Villa, when he got that ankle injury, he was superb. And he was out for a couple of months, and you're like, or not even a couple of months, a month or so, and then came back. Did we rush him back? But since he's come back from that second one, he's just not been at it at all. I don't know if he is still playing through pain or whatever. But yeah, it's a concern. Johnson, I think he had one moment right at the end. But yeah, just didn't really have the impact. With Charlison, as Seb said earlier, it wasn't his day. So yeah, we've got enough players there. So the hope is that just by one of them at least we'll find a bit of spark. Son was very quiet yesterday. He got the ball and he looked like he was going to do something with it, and then sideways pass. He didn't. I don't think he had a shot, Son, that I can remember. So yeah, we are lacking something from these players coming back. And the hope is, like I said, you've got 2 weeks on the training pitch, that they'll get that gel back together. They'll get some cohesion, and hopefully we'll get back to what we were at the start of the season.
I still think one thing that yesterday showed and maybe a few of the recent games has showed is I can see why we were linked with a player like Nusa in January, because we haven't got anyone, not a single player, who is willing to take anyone on. And that's what you need. Mm. You need when you're playing this low block. That it's so easy to play against if you get it into an advanced wide position, and then the ball goes back to a fullback or a central midfielder. All you're effectively doing is starting that process, that possession process again, trying to create something. It's just pointless. I mean, I was trying to think of a player. Obviously, he's completely unobtainable, but someone, I know we've been linked with Neto, and even then, I don't really see that he takes players on. He just is great running into space. But someone like a Doku or something like that would be that's the type of player that we are missing in my mind. I just think all the fitness coming back and the players coming back and everything is fine, and we hope that it progresses. But I still think the key ingredient that is missing is the creativity from the wide players that I don't think you're going to get with Werner. I don't think you get with Johnson. You sometimes get with Kulusevski, and that's why, I'm going to say it again. That's why I'd put Maddison out there and try that. Otherwise, I think we're just going to continue to come up against the same problems. When you mentioned about Bentancur, as a, for instance, his best game since he's come back was against Man United. Well, the reason that is that he had the time and the space that the United midfielders give you, because in turn they're trying to create something themselves. So you have that kind of back and forth. When you're playing against midfielders whose sole purpose is to stop you and to kind of close down your passing routes, he's going to struggle. And I thought a lot of our midfield struggled yesterday for that very reason. So I don't even necessarily think it's a fitness issue with Bentancur, but probably is a little bit. That the more he plays, the more he kind of wise up to it. But if you sit on him, and if you sit on Bissouma, then they don't create anything.
Yeah, I suppose. But the thing is with Bentancur, when he was at his best, he seemed like he was, just a step ahead. Like he had that confidence that he was going to be able to dominate the game, was never going to be in trouble in possession. If someone got close, he'd be able to offload it easily. It doesn't really seem like that at the minute. He seems a little bit like he's a bit more fallible. But the other thing that I found is, like, our team is kind of set up to counter. If we had lots of counter opportunities in games, we've got loads of pace on the wings now. And I think that's it. In games where there's a low block, you're right, Seb, they're not the sort of tricky players that are wanting to take on the wing backs or the full backs. Son did it a few times yesterday, but then you've got Kilman as a unit and Dawson. They were just there in the right positions, ball come across, headed straight out, no problem. Yep. I just think it's all a bit too easy to deal with. We just weren't sort of probing and creating those situations that were ever going to cause them a problem. It was just like, that's what they expected. Right, we'll limit them to these opportunities, and when they do, we'll just deal with it. And that's kind of how it felt. But like you say, Palace coming up, 2 weeks to prepare. You've got to kind of hope that the fullbacks will be back. We'll have a full strength squad, and I'm not sure.
What would your team be?
I'm not sure I'd do anything different to kind of mostly what it was yesterday, but with the fullbacks switched out, I think. Bren, what do you think?
Yeah, well, it's the team that we started the season with, isn't it? Pretty much. So definitely that's, and you'd hope that they sort of again get that rhythm back. I'd go with that. I think Bentancur coming off the bench is a good option until he gets back to what we know he can be. So yeah, I agree. Yeah, the team that we had, and we've got options off the bench, Werner and other players to have an impact. No big change there. One thing that is clear though, this result's been coming. We've not been playing well. We kind of since October. I think you pointed out in the WhatsApp group, we smashed Newcastle, we smashed Newcastle's reserves. So, but other than that, we've not dominated a game like we were before. And so I think in the press conference, and I get wound up a lot with Ange's press conferences because he seems to get asked really stupid questions. And I don't know why. And maybe it's just me sort of looking out for it. But like, I get always like, oh, what tricks can you give the team to get them out of this, the problem with their form? And he was like, what tricks? He's like, look, I'm not a magician. I'm a football manager. Like, hard work. There's your answer. Piss off.
Yeah, Ange gets the arse as well, doesn't he? And I do like that about him. He doesn't kind of play along with it. If he feels like it's a stupid question, then he points it out. But I do feel like on Twitter, again, yes, there was a lot of sort of misquoting of that. A bit weird, but frustrating. And I think he's probably getting a bit frustrated with it as well, because it does feel like as soon as things start to go a bit wrong, like our fan base does seem to lose their shit, don't they?
Yes, yeah, I kind of go on Twitter for fun, to be honest, because reading some of the reactions, the over the top reactions, and it goes the other way as well. Sometimes when we win in it, people think we, you know, still going to win the league, or you know, we'll give Arsenal and City a run for second, or some of the stuff that I've read. So it's either one way or the other. That's the way of social media now. Look, we're sitting somewhere in the middle of it. I did read something that I found interesting. I'm sure this point's been raised many times, but Klopp in his first season, they finished eighth. Arteta, in his first season, they finished eighth. I think in Arteta's second season, they finished eighth. We are, I think, kind of light years ahead of where we thought we'd be. And maybe it'd be interesting if we were kind of had been hovering around eighth and then had recently had a decent run, whereby you could see progress, and then we were in fifth and you're thinking, oh, I can see. It's kind of happened reverse way round, whereby we started like a train and like, hold on, this wasn't meant to happen. And historically under Ange, with his other teams, that doesn't happen. It's a slow start and then the players get it, and they you know, that's what we've seen before. So it's kind of happening in reverse, and therefore it's incumbent on us, I think, if you want to say to kind of do our jobs within the pod, to kind of point out the things that are going wrong. I don't think there's any major, there's no huge issues. We have some individually brilliant players. I think the massive issues are with the attack. And I think that's something that we're going to need to get sorted. We've talked over Kulusevski, we've talked over Johnson, we've talked over Son, we've talked over Richie, pretty much throughout the season. The way that system works, and you have to ask, I think the question overall to ask is how reliant is it? Because the way that system works is three out of those four attackers need to be on their game. You need to be putting chances, you need to be creating, and you need to be putting chances away, because at the other end, you're going to be giving chances away. As we've seen, I don't think the goals against is terrible, but are we something like 38 conceded already? There's a lot of goals going in, so I think we've still got maybe the seventh or eighth best defence in the league, but it's the regularity at this moment in time. You know, I think it's five clean sheets all season, one clean sheet in the last 4 months. So there are issues at both ends, which we have to point out, otherwise what we're doing.
No, exactly. And yeah, teams around us, especially that other team from up North London, their goal difference is far superior to ours now. It's just frustrating because we haven't been smashing teams. I think we said this, I think Newcastle was our best result, isn't it? No teams are rolling over and letting us spank them like the Goons have. It's frustrating. But it does look like there's now a gap between sort of maybe the top three and the others, and we're going to be fighting for that fourth spot. Anyway, right, we'll call this one to a close. Just let me quickly mention football prizes. This week, there's a signed Brennan Johnson in a really nice frame. Looks really nice. Lots of instant prizes as well. Richarlison shirts, Bissouma shirts. all sorts of things there. Ben Davis. Anyway, get involved at footballprizes.co.uk. The competition ends on Tuesday, the 20th of Feb at 7:30. Just over half of the tickets have sold, so there's still a good opportunity to get involved there in some of the instant win prizes. Tickets are £3.95 each, but don't forget, with the discount code CR10, you get a 10% discount. And if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/thecheesemanpodcast, you'll get an extra 5% off your ticket price there as well. So get involved, footballprizes.co.uk. Right, Bren, just joining, mates?
All good, mate. Yes, off to Mexico tomorrow, so I'm away. The thing is, we're not playing for another 2 weeks, so we're back in time for Crystal Palace, so just drop in there that I'm going to get tomorrow.
Yeah. We might have to get out some special pods that we've been threatening to do for a long time with this break coming up. Seb? Cheers for coming along, mates. You know, you've got a new sort of role to talk about, haven't you? I don't know if you want to tell everybody.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Franco. Yeah, I've got the job with a website called Football League World as the Port Vale reporter. So, yeah, I'm quite pleased. I definitely want to be stepping up my media work, if you can call it that. And this is a little start in that. So, yeah, really, really happy to be to be doing that. That's why my kind of Twitter handle's changed and my Facebook profile's changed slightly, because as much as I'm dedicated, obviously, you know, my dedication to the cheese room, I have many strings to my bow now, Franco. So that's why it changed. But yeah, thank you for letting me say that, because I am quite pleased with myself. So yeah, thank you.
Exactly. Big yourself up.
Just one quick one. Sorry, before we go. Shout out to Dan from Dublin Spurs. He listens to the pod. Saw him in Dublin the other week. So shout out to Dan. And I'll see them again, because I've got the Sandro Social in Dublin in March. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Top stuff. All right, cheers. Thanks for listening. The YouTube gang will be back on Monday. And like I said, we'll get a pod out in between now and the Palace game about something. Right. Until next time. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Sports Social Podcast Network.